Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NFL Week 8 episode of the Bacon Bets Podcast. The road to 272 bets continues. 272 NFL regular season games, 272 bets. This was a tough one. Week 7, I would classify it as the week that could have been, is what I would call this past week. If you listen to last week's episode of the podcast, there were three teams specifically that I said every part of my being wants to bet on these three teams, but I can't find any kind of metrics to back it up. Those three teams were the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Giants. And not only did those three teams cover as underdogs, they won outright as underdogs. I also said I was deciding between two different teams for my upset pick of the week. I either was deciding between the Chargers to upset the Chiefs or the Vikings to upset the 49ers. I went with the Chargers to upset the 49ers, and that was the wrong choice as well. And it turns out they lost outright, did not cover, and the Vikings won outright on Monday Night Football. So as a result, the worst week of the season, unfortunately, 5-8 minus 3.38 units. It ends the streak of three straight profitable weeks, but hey, when you bet on every single NFL regular season game, and even if you don't, even if you bet on only a small handful of games each week, you're gonna have bad weeks, and this was hopefully the worst week of the season. So minus 3.38 units. But the bright side is we are still hanging in the profit. Barely, but profitable nonetheless. Our season to date record sits at 54-50-2 for plus 1.5 units. If you followed only my best bets, then you actually had a winning week. My best bets last week went 3-2. I won Ravens. I won Seahawks. I won Vikings. I lost Packers, and I lost Chargers. The teaser one as well, the Falcons up from plus 2.5 to plus 8.5 against the Bucks. They won outright, so that was easy. And the Seahawks from minus 7.5 down to minus 8. It must have been down to minus 2 I have here in my notes. Regardless, the Seahawks covered the normal spread, so if you tease it down, no matter what number you got of that, that hit as well. Survivor pick, I gave out two last week. My obvious pick, if you wanted to go with an obvious one, was the Seahawks. That one easy. My sneaky bet was the Raiders. In my defense, though, I didn't know Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be out. And if Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be out, I assumed it was going to be Aiden O'Connell starting. It wasn't. It was Brian Hoyer for some reason. And the Raiders suck with Brian Hoyer. So there you have it. If you followed any of my best bets or teasers or anything like that, you probably had a good week. If you tailed all of my picks, it was a tough one, unfortunately. But hey, we're not going to slow down. We're still profitable. We're still looking all right. I do want to point out, I don't know if I can say this person's name. I did tweet it. I don't know if you guys saw this when I tweeted it out. I'll leave out the person's name. I got an email today, and I will occasionally get people sending me emails to my work email. I don't think that's public information. I mean, it must be because they find it somewhere. But I received this email. Usually it's just Twitter DMs. But I received an email this week. And it said, Ian, Do you actually do any research before opening your mouth? We beat KC, Green Bay, and Tampa on the road. This is a Detroit Lions fan who was very upset that I picked the Ravens last week. We beat Chiefs, Packers, and Tampa Bay on the road. Tampa Bay is still leading their division, and the Lions are the only team with a win over another 5-1 team. These are not the old Lions. Brian Branch, is going to be all over the field in this Lions win. The Ravens Super Bowl announcement is going to be delayed another week. Cheers. I did not respond, but I got very giddy when I got this email because, first of all, it's generally kind of funny for someone. And people always say this. One of the classic go-to lines when you get chirped as someone who works in sports media and makes predictions is, do you actually do any research? And almost 100% of the time, 9 times out of 10, they follow up that statement by citing box scores. It's like, no, the stats I cite, like EPA and net yards per play and success rate, none of those things are research, I guess. But what is research is just listing off the teams that they beat. We beat Chiefs, Packers, and Tampa. Great research. But I withheld of responding to this email. But I do get giddy because usually whenever I get any like vicious, well, this is not, I mean, all that, it wasn't vicious. But anytime I get like direct DMs or emails from people who are overconfident that I'm wrong, that makes me even more confident in my pick. Of course, the Ravens had the biggest ass kicking of the week. Absolutely destroyed the Lions. I responded Sunday after the game. Dear blank LOL. Cheers, Ian. I will say I didn't tweet out the final part, but there was a final follow-up to this, and I guess they were kind of a good sport, but let me see here. Fair play. We sucked. Thought it was going to be a fun physical game. Instead, it was a Lamar show. Hopefully, you run it back in the Super Bowl. Sent for my iPhone. I mean, fair enough for that response. Didn't respond to the fact that they asked me if I actually do any research before opening my mouth. I obviously do research. Some people in the sports media world don't, which I'm going to rant about in a little bit when I talk about the Bills game. Won't get into that too much now. It is the week 8 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. Happy Spookytober. I got my spooky sweater on. If you're watching this on YouTube, and if you're not, head over to YouTube and search up the Bacon Bets podcast, and you'll be able to see this wonderful spooky kitten sweater I got. We got a couple kitty cats on there with some spooky hats and a spooky sweater design. It's like a ugly Christmas sweater, except it's Halloween version. I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday of the entire year. And I guess I will be recording the next episode. I'll be recording the day before Halloween. So we got two spooky episodes coming up. How about that? It is week 8 of the season. There are no teams on bye week, which I think is strange. Unless my memory is wrong. I don't remember there being like a random week in the middle of the season, which is usually during bye week part of the season, with no teams on bye. So 16 games, 16 picks. I did golf Beth Page Black today. If you saw my tweet about that, I shot a 112. Not a good time to not play well. Maybe not golfing for a month and a half before playing Beth Page Black wasn't a great idea. It was a lot of fun, but 112, not ideal. I will say progress, though. Old Ian would have snapped a couple of golf clubs. I did not snap any golf clubs. No golf clubs today were hurt in the process of shooting a 112. So I am proud of that. Growth. I'm getting old. You can't snap clubs. Once you hit 30 years old, your club snapping days are behind you, unfortunately. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate and review it. All that good stuff. Buckle up, friends. It's time to get back on track. It is the NFL Week 8 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws!
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
All right, as always, my friends, we're going to start with Thursday night football game. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Buffalo Bills. Now, before I get into my pick, now, and it is going to become very obvious what team I'm betting on here, But I want to go on a little mini rant here because I think it's fair to say I have become pretty decent at pointing out what teams are fraudulent across several different sports over the past few years. It's kind of become my thing to point out the fraudulent team, say they're fraudulent, and by the end of the year, I'm justified and proven correct. There is one team that now I'm hearing across Twitter and other forms of sports media people are pointing to as calling frauds, and I'm here to defend that team. That is the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are not a fraudulent team. The definition of a fraudulent team is a team that has a very good record that a lot of people think are good, but when you look at their underlying statistics and metrics, they actually aren't nearly as good as their good record indicates. I've taken it a step further this year. I've ranked the top five fraudulent teams each week, and you have probably seen the Buffalo Bills have not been on that list because they are actually, in some sense, the opposite. They are a team that doesn't have a good record right now, or that good of a record, but their metrics are very good. So they can't be fraudulent. They don't have that good of a record. You usually have to have a pretty good record in order to be a fraudulent team, or you have to have bad metrics. The Bills don't have that. I would call the Bills unlucky. I would say that we're going to see some regression to the point we're going to see them string some impressive wins together. They are not a fraudulent team. And you can't just call them a fraudulent team by saying, oh, they don't win games. They've lost some games this season they probably should have won, therefore they're fraudulent. No, that's variance, my friends. That is not fraudulence. That is variance. Sometimes things happen, especially in sports, especially in the sport of football. Let me bring up this webpage here, and it's one that I've referenced a few times on the podcast already this season. Great website. I recommend going to check it out yourself, rbsdm.com. We're looking at some offensive numbers here. This is rush EPA per play is the y-axis, dropback EPA per play is the x-axis. Look at the Bills over there. They're kind of in a league of their own there with the Dolphins and the 49ers. A fraudulent team would be a team that'd be sitting at like 5-2, for example, and not be anywhere in the upper right-hand quadrant of this graph. Let me find a fraudulent team here for you on this list just by looking at this. The number one team that I've ranked the past couple weeks, I don't know if they're going to be number one this week, but the Jacksonville Jaguars, who people after this past week are crowning contenders in the AFC. Look where they rank in these two stats. Not very impressive. So I would call a team like the Jaguars fraudulent. People who still believe in the Bengals. Now, they don't have a good enough record, in my opinion, for them to be extremely fraudulent. But look where the Bengals rank. Fraudulent. Not as good as the record. The Bills. Their record should be much better than their metrics. By definition, they aren't fraudulent. Now, to be fair, I'll play both sides of this. Their defense isn't as impressive as their offense, specifically their ability to stop the run, and that's something I'll talk about when I talk about this game against the Buccaneers. But make no mistake about it, my friends. The Buffalo Bills are a good football team, and they are not fraudulent. They've had bad luck. They've had some bad decisions, some bad turnovers. But they will turn things around, and they're gonna be considered by the end of the season a top contender in the AFC. And people who are calling them frauds don't understand what the word fraudulent means. I'm the king of frauds. Some might say I'm a fraud myself. It takes one to know one. The Bills are not a fraudulent football team, which is why I'm betting them to win and cover against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday night. -8.5, -110 against the Buccaneers. Now, this is usually when the graphic comes up on YouTube. Why isn't this coming up? Oh, there we go. Bills -8.5, -110. What is the one thing that the Bills do struggle with? I just said it, stopping the run. What is the one thing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't do to save their lives? Run the football. It's really that easy. If you want to beat the Bills like teams have, like the Patriots did this past week, you can pound the ball down their throat. But the Buccaneers rank 31st. Yes, 31st in yards per carry. They're averaging just 3.1 yards per carry. Dead last in rush success rate. They are arguably the worst team at running the football. So they don't have the ability to hit the Bills where it hurts. They'll have to once again try to win by throwing the ball with Baker Mayfield, which didn't work last week against the Falcons. Didn't work the week before against whoever it was they played when I bet against them. Not going to work against the Buffalo Bills. The Bills win in impressive fashion on Thursday night, -8.5, -110 at home. Allow me to remind you. Moving on, I'm getting my big upset pick out of the way early. Now, I've been very bad with my big upset pick so far this season. I recognize that. I made a big mistake taking the Chargers this past week when I should have went with the Vikings instead. And I even said last week I was considering doing that. I should have, I guess, probably just taken both. But I'm going to take the Rams +230 to upset the Dallas Cowboys. You want to talk about fraudulent teams? Let's go ahead and bring up that graph. I guess I didn't bring up the Cowboys earlier. Let's go ahead and bring up that graph again here. Look where the Cowboys rank. Not terrible. Their drop back EPA per play is pretty solid. Their rush EPA per play is about league average. Certainly not nearly in the league of their own like the Bills, the Dolphins, the 49ers, and the Chiefs at least when it comes to throwing the ball. Look who ranks above them, and especially, actually kind of surprisingly, rush EPA per play is the LA Rams. The LA Rams are a dangerous football team that people still don't seem to respect. Heading into this week, the Rams ranked 9th in the NFL in net yards per play, +0.4. The Cowboys come in at 14th at 0. They are the only team that is at exactly 0 in net yards per play heading into Week 8. Now, the Cowboys' defense is obviously very good. There's no denying that. There's a reason they're this big of a favorite at home. But I think the Rams, as long as Matt Stafford's healthy and that receiving core is healthy, they are a dangerous threat to beat anyone any given week. I will take a shot with them to win and upset the Cowboys outright in Dallas, +230. Let's talk my dirty birds, my friends. Speaking of fraudulent teams, not my Falcons, first of all. But the Titans were the fraudulent team of the year 2 years ago when they were the worst one seed in AFC history. And what happened? Didn't win a single playoff game. Shocking. Falcons. I'm going to talk a lot about running the football this week because there are a lot of teams that are very good at running the football, taking on teams who are very bad at stopping the run. And there are a lot of teams who are very bad or very good at running the ball but taking on good run defenses. This is the latter. 39.32% of the offensive yards gained by the Titans comes through running the football. That is the sixth highest rate in the NFL. And now they take on the Falcons, who have arguably the best run defense in the NFL. Some metrics would say that. Now, they are 10th in opponent yards per play, or sorry, yards per carry. Teams are getting 3.7 yards per rush against them. Sixth in opponent rush success rate, but they are first in opponent rush EPA per play. So all metrics, they're top 10. One big metric in terms of rush EPA, they're first. Regardless, they are very, very good run defense. That might be actually the Falcons' biggest strength. And still, like I said last week when I was talking about my Falcons, we need to not push the panic button about this team. Desmond Ridder, I mean, I don't know if I've ever... It's been a long time. I mean, I was about to say, I don't know if I've ever watched a Falcons game more stressful than that. I've watched 50 Falcons games more stressful than that. It's been a while since I've watched one that was that big of a roller coaster, though. The ups and downs. We should have beat the Buccaneers by 50 points, and we are losing up until the last second drive. Three turnovers in the red zone, three fumbles by Desmond Ridder in the end zone, two of them on the one-yard line, one of them on the one-inch line, but we got the win. But he is, I don't know why Falcons fans and NFL fans don't have any patience with Desmond Ridder. Has he made mistakes earlier this year? Yes. But we're talking about a third-round draft pick who has had shown flashes of being a very good quarterback, make some mistakes, and like 7 weeks in, they're like, bench him. Relax. He's shown flashes of some great play. I have faith in him. I think the Titans stink. Falcons, 11th in the NFL in net yards per play. Falcons are a good team. I've said it a handful of times this season. They're not great. They are a good team. I think they should be field goal favorites in this game. They are 2-point favorites. And so I will take the Falcons minus two. I don't think the Titans have much to offer offensively in what they do, which is by running the football. The Falcons can stop that. So give me the Falcons minus two. Minus 110 against the Titans. The Miami Dolphins. Another team that some people are calling frauds that I would not call frauds. Yes, do they need to beat a good team or at least, you know, play in a close game against a good team? The two really good teams they played against, the Bills and the Eagles, crushed them. That's not promising. But still, I'm going to take them to winning cover. Minus 9, minus 110 against the Patriots because we are looking at arguably the best offense in the NFL against the worst offense in the NFL. Now, I know what you're saying, Ian. The Patriots might be rolling. The Dolphins didn't look great against the Eagles. But I've said it time and time again. Us NFL fans have short memories. One thing happens in 1 week, and then we're convinced that's what those teams are. It's like we completely forget the weeks and games that happened before. It's like everyone just thinks about the most recent result. The Patriots stink. Yeah, great game. They played the perfect game against the Bills. There's absolutely no denying that. But still, if you look at season-long numbers, the Dolphins are averaging 3 more yards per play offensively. Miami is also first in EPA per play. Patriots are dead last in EPA per play. It's going to have to be a pretty big spread for me to not want to bet on the best offense in the NFL against the worst offense in the NFL. It's really that simple. I'll take Dolphins minus 9, minus 110 against the Patriots. Vikings-Packers. Should have took their money line against the 49ers. I regret that, but I will once again be betting on the Vikings. I think this is now the sixth straight week. I think the only week I didn't bet on the Vikings, I think I took Bucks plus 6 in week 1. Ever since then, I've bet on the Vikings every single week, and I will continue to bet on the Vikings until the odds makers set the line at a number that I think is fair for where I evaluate this Vikings team. I continue to think they are much better than their record indicates. Their numbers reflect that. They were a top 10 team in net yards per play heading into week 7. And then they beat the 49ers and Oak gained them 6.8 yards per play to 6.1 yards per play, all without Justin Jefferson. Then there's the Packers, who I've lost complete faith in. They are getting worse as the season goes on. They have a net yards per play of minus 0.4 over the last 3 games. And those games came against the Lions, the Raiders, and the Bears. Sure, the Lions are very good. Raiders and Bears, 2 of the worst teams in the NFL. Broncos, the Raiders and Broncos in their last 2 games. My notes had Bears. They beat the Bears early in the season. So Raiders and Broncos still 2 of the worst teams in the NFL, and they could not beat either of them, and they have a negative net yards per play. Not good. Jordan Love has had chances to throw the ball against some of the worst secondaries in the NFL, and he still hasn't been able to produce. I will fade the Packers. I think this is an insulting line for the Vikings. I will take the Vikings even money to upset, at least slight upset. I wouldn't be surprised by the time I wake up tomorrow, Vikings are 1-point favorites instead of 1-point underdogs. But I'll take the Vikings even money regardless. I got another upset for you guys. How about this one? Not as big of a one, not as big of an upset, but we got to gain some ground back after losing last week. So we're going to go Panthers to get their first win of the season, plus 130 against the Houston Texans. I'm going to buy low on them a little bit in the spot. Are the Panthers a good team? No, but I think they're better than people think. I don't think they're the worst team in the NFL. I think the Cardinals are a worse team. I think the Commanders might be a worse team. I think the Giants could be a worse team. I think the Bears could be a worse team. But their biggest weakness has been to stop the run. Their run defense has been bad this season, 28th in opponent yards per carry. They are dead last in opponent rush success rate. But now they're taking on a Texans team that does not run the ball successfully, 29th in rush success rate, only averaging 3.2 yards per carry. I also think Bryce Young has looked better each game. Not significantly better each game, but I think he has taken steps forward every time that I've seen Bryce Young play. They're at home. They're coming off a bye. I guess, to be fair, I guess the Texans are coming off a bye too. But still, I like the Panthers in this spot. I think they get their first win of the season here. I'll take them at home, plus 130. Next up, it is the Battle of New York, or Battle of New Jersey, whatever way you want to look at it, is the Jets and the Giants. This might be the ugliest bet of the week. I'm going to go over 36.5 at minus 110. It's a very similar reason for why I took the over in the Bears-Raiders game last week, which, to be fair, was lucky to hit by the end of it. But for a total to be in the mid-30s, like this one is at 36.5, even a point lower than the Bears-Raiders game, then I need the defenses on both teams to be elite. That is not the case. Because, yes, poor offense is one part of a low total, but it should also include good defenses. We know the Giants' defense isn't good. I know they held the Commanders only a touchdown last week, but no matter what metric you want to look at for the Giants' defense, they stink. And the Jets' defense, they were top three defense last season, not so much this season. Don't listen to what people say about this Jets' defense. They are, as the kids say, mid. I might even go that far to say mid. 16th in opponent EPA per play, 15th in opponent yards per play. So you want to look at advanced metrics, you want to look at simple metrics, it doesn't matter. They have played very average football defensively. Numbers are numbers, they don't lie. Certainly not the type of defensive numbers I would come to expect or I'd want for a total in the mid-30s. So it is an ugly bet. I don't certainly don't trust either offense, but I don't trust either defense either. So give me the over 36.5 between the Jets and the Giants. Speaking of fraudulent teams, big fraud theme to the show today. I hate this game because this is a battle between two teams I hate, two teams I think are fraudulent. It is the Jaguars and the Steelers. I don't want to take either of these teams. And I don't like the total, which is at 41.5, 42. I'm going to take the Jaguars, -2.5. Minus 112. Now, I will say, I put the Jaguars at the top spot of my fraudulent rankings two straight weeks. But I will admit, when I don't get locked into these fraudulent rankings. Some people think that I just pick a team that I would just want to pick on, and then I just target them the entire season. That's not how this works. If new information comes in, I adjust. And the Jaguars on Thursday night last week against the Saints, that was an impressive win. Actually, it was tied late, the Saints had a chance to even win the game and come from behind. But that was finally a game where I thought the Jaguars looked good and looked like they deserved to win the game. That was their first win this season I thought they deserved to actually have. And as a result, their metrics improved. If a team's going to improve their metrics, I'm not going to keep calling them frauds. Now I still think they're frauds. They're probably going to still be on my fraud list. They won't be number one this week, though. You know what team might be ranked higher? The Steelers, who still continue to find ways to win as underdogs week after week. I think it's Rob Pozzola who calls it Mike Tomlin voodoo. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how they do it, but the Steelers continue to win, and that pisses me off. Because no matter what metric you look at, you want to look at EPA per play, success rate. You want to look at net yards per play, which is they rank, let me check here, 27th in net yards per play this season. No matter what metric you want to look at, the Steelers are not a good football team, but they win continuously when they're set as underdogs. That pisses me off. Give me the Jaguars. The Jaguars are the only two teams to impress me at all this year, are the only of the two teams that has impressed me at any point this season, and it was last week, the Jaguars' impressive win over the Saints. So I'll take it. -2.5, -112. And there we go. We are halfway through the game, so I'll take a quick break, and I'll be right back in just a moment to break down the second half of the games, and then I'll recap and give out my best bets. Be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, let's keep things rolling here. I was just talking about the Saints before the break, and that is the team we're going to come back to here, but I'm going to fade them. I'm sick of them. Colts, -1, -110 against the Saints. I will obviously watch that Thursday night football game. I've been talking on this podcast the past few weeks. The Saints offense should be a lot better than what it is because on paper they got weapons. They got Alvin Kamara. They got Chris Olave. They got Michael Thomas. They got Derek Carr, who's that shown flashes of being a good quarterback in his career. But their offensive playbook, I don't know if it's the play calling, the playbook, or Derek Carr himself, but oh my God, that is the worst offense I've ever had to watch. They just dump it down to Kamara almost every play, and it doesn't look like they're designed. And that's why most of them, like, that's why he has like every game Kamara's since he's come back is like 15 catches for 37 yards because they go for like 2 yards each. They're not designed plays to Kamara. I don't know if Derek Carr just doesn't want to get sacked and his O-line makes him spooked, so he just dumps it off to Kamara as soon as Kamara breaks through the line. But oh my God, that offense is painful to watch. I don't want to bet on them. Please don't make me bet on the Saints. Also, the Colts, sneakily a pretty frisky team this season. Eighth in the NFL in net yards per play, plus 0.4. They have had some turnover bad luck, giving up 1.7 turnovers per game. If they can stop turning the ball over, and that might be asking a lot of Gardner Minshew, this Colts team is feisty. I'll take a -1 at -110 against the Saints. Eagles and Commanders, a rematch of a game from earlier this season where the Eagles and Commanders went to overtime. I do not think it'll go to overtime this time around. I think the Eagles run away with it. I'll take a -6.5, -110 in Washington. Last week against the Dolphins, we saw the Eagles offense finally click. In some sense, at least their passing game really clicked. The Dolphins were able to shut down the run game. But this is once again a stylistic matchup nightmare for the Commanders. The Commanders can't stop the run. The Eagles are usually very good at running the football and love to do it. But mainly, we got the Commanders' offensive line, which is just atrocious, going up against this Eagles pass rush. When they played earlier, I think it was in week 4, the Eagles got 5 sacks. I know that game ended up going to overtime, and people are going to bet the Commanders to cover the spread because of that fact. I will not fall for that trap. The Eagles are the far superior team. They seem to be clicking a little bit, at least if you take, if you consider what they did against the Dolphins, if you think they can keep that momentum going. And this is a stylistic nightmare for the Commanders. So I will take the Eagles -6.5 on the road against the Washington Commanders. The Seattle Seahawks, I'm slowly starting to be convinced the Seahawks might be a true contender in the NFC. Right now, if you were to ask me to rank the top teams in the NFC, I'd go number 1. I'd still go 49ers 1. I'd go Eagles 2. I'd go Seahawks number 3. Cowboys, no. Unfortunately, my Falcons, no. And I know there are Lions fans out there who want the Lions to be ranked number 3, but I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, sure, I think the Lions and the Seahawks are very comparable, but they played against each other this season and the Seahawks won, so It's very tough to make the argument for the Lions over the Seahawks at this point of the season, in my opinion. There are 3-point favorites at home to the Cleveland Browns. I got a -102 for the juice. And you look at things like net yards per play, they're plus 0.8. That is 5th in the NFL in net yards per play. They're behind only the Dolphins, Ravens, 49ers, and Chiefs. And we know the Browns have an elite defense still, even though Gardner Minshew kind of torched them this past week. But they run the football a lot. Actually, 46.21% of their offensive yards gained comes on the ground. That is the highest mark in the NFL. So no offense in the NFL gets a higher percentage of their yards through the run game than the Browns do. And now they take on the best run defense in the NFL. Seahawks are 3rd in opponent yards per carry and third in both opponent yards per carry and opponent rush success rate. Now, I think I might have wrote that note down wrong because I thought they were 1st in opponent rush success rate. They are. And what are they? Are 3rd in opponent yards per carry. Yes, confirm that. But 1st in opponent rush success rate. A little typo in my notes. I do not proofread my notes before I start recording, which is probably something I should start doing. Regardless, my point still stands. The Browns get a ton of their offensive yards on the ground. They now play the best run defense, in my opinion, in the Seahawks. The Seahawks are obviously at home. And also, who knows what the hell is going on with the Browns offense. Deshaun Watson looks terrible. He doesn't even really look like he wants to play. PJ Walker at least plays with heart, but he doesn't have the talent of Deshaun Watson. I have no Jerome Ford, I think, is hurt now too. Like, who's gonna run the football for them? I guess is it just, do they just hand it to Kareem Hunt 100 times a game? I don't know. I have no desire to bet on the Browns right now. I think this is a great spot for the Seattle Seahawks. I'll take a -3, -102. I don't know if I brought up the little graphic there yet. Let me do it. 49ers Bengals. You know which way I'm going, baby. Give me the 49ers -5.5, -105. Let me just quickly minimize myself here on video once again. Let me go back to this page, rbsdm.com/stats. If you go to this section of it, you can see offense, defense. You can also see quarterbacks. Let me go to this. Now, I know Brock Purdy didn't have a great night on Monday night, so probably not a great time for me to go on a Brock Purdy rant. But I'm going to anyways. Because, and this goes back to the thing about people calling the Bills frauds, people calling the Dolphins frauds. People say things without backing it up with metrics. And this is something that a lot of people in sports media do, which really annoys me. Listen, maybe I'm kind of stuck up my own ass and taking myself too seriously here. But listen, I like to have a fun time. I like to goof. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to make an argument, I back it up with stats, or at least I try to. There's people who make arguments that are the same arguments I hear from Bobby at the water cooler. Oh, Brock Purdy's not actually a good quarterback. He's just a system quarterback. Any quarterback could play good in that system. You think any quarterback could have these kinds of metrics if you're looking at the screen right now, just because Kyle Shanahan's a good coach? If that was the case, why didn't Nick Mullins succeed with the 49ers? Why is Jimmy Garoppolo now in Las Vegas? Why is Trey Lance now in Dallas? Show me the metrics that Brock Purdy is not a good quarterback. Now, obviously, tonight's game against the Vikings wasn't a great example, especially at the end, a couple of bad interceptions, but let's look at his season-long numbers here. 111.9 rating, 77.6 QBR. These numbers I'm realizing now are not updated from tonight. Heading into tonight, he had 10 touchdowns and one interception heading into tonight. So now one bad performance, and now we're dancing on the tables like we are right because you said Brock Purdy's not a good quarterback because he has a couple of good receivers and a good running back. That just means anybody could be a good quarterback in that system. Please, if you're going to come at me with arguments, you need to come at me with actual numbers and metrics that back them up. You can't just say things. You're supposed to be educated. If you work in sports media, you're supposed to come up with educated takes that have reasons behind them. Not the same takes I could hear from Bobby at the water cooler. This is coming from the guy that used to call Tom Brady assistant quarterback, so. I should shut up because, I mean, I'm sure I've had plenty of takes that have not had been backed up by any metrics whatsoever, like Tom Brady being a system quarterback. That was a fun one that I echoed for about 15 years. Regardless, let me get back to my, let me get full screen me again here. 49ers -5.5 against the Bengals, -105. The Bengals have not played well. As I can back up with metrics. Instead of just saying, oh, the record's not good. If they're a good football team, they'd have a good record. Well, I actually think records are the worst way to evaluate a team. Instead, I'd rather look at the fact that the Bengals are 31st in the NFL in net yards per play, -1.4. Only the Giants have a worse net yards per play than the Bengals. Instead, I'd rather look at the fact they're 26th in EPA per play, 18th in opponent EPA per play. Now, I will say, if you were to convince me to bet on the Bengals this week, it'd be that they had a bye week and that Joe Burrow got a lot more healthy. And now that he's a lot more healthy, he's going to be able to be a lot more mobile in the pocket. And him being a lot more mobile is going to be able to wake up this offense, which could certainly be true. We could come next week and I could say, hey, Joe Burrow looks a lot more healthy. Looks like the Joe Burrow of old. We need to start treating the Bengals like the 2022 version of the Bengals, not the version we saw up to this point. But until I see that, I will not be betting on them. So I'll go 49ers -5.5, -105. Hopefully they come out of their lull a little bit. Ravens, Cardinals, Ravens -108. Ravens -8.5, -108. I hope you invested in some Ravens futures like I did this past week before they played the Lions. I said they're a very good team. Every single metric you look at proves that. Net yards per play, they're second in the NFL to only the Dolphins. They're great in EPA per play. Solid, at least offensively. I shouldn't say great up to this point. They are not great. Great defensively. Solid offensively, but then against the Lions, they really took the next step. And I think I said last week, once they take the next step offensively, they're going to be a scary, scary football team. And that's exactly what happened. They dominated the Lions. The yards per play, I don't know if you guys looked at this, but the yards per play in that game against Lions was Ravens 9.1 yards per play, Lions 4.7. Oh boy. If that Ravens offense can keep humming, they're going to be a dangerous team. Now they take on the Cardinals, who I think are now the worst team in the league. They were frisky the first few weeks. They upset the Cowboys, but their stats have fallen off a cliff. Net yards per play of -1 over their last three games. Their quarterback situation is a disaster. Kyler Murray might come back at some point, but even if he does, I think it might be even worse. I see no reason to bet on the Cardinals right now. They are not the same Cardinals we saw the first few weeks of the season. Ravens -8.5, -108. This one's going to be a tough one for me to do. I'm going to take the Broncos +8 against the Chiefs. Not a fun one. I do think the Broncos have gotten better. They're not a good football team. I think they have played a lot better the past few weeks than they did the first few weeks of the season. And I think it's a good stylistic matchup for them. They can run the football. The Broncos are actually very good at running the football. They're averaging 5 yards per carry this season. I wonder where they are in rush success rate. Rush success rate, they are not as good, 16th. So they're averaging that. Rush EPA, they're 18th. Surprising. The eye test and the yards per carry to me show that they have done a fairly good job of running the football this season. 5 yards per carry is you know, no small feat. And the reason why I bring that up is because the Chiefs have not done a good job of stopping the run. This has been the biggest issue for the Chiefs this season. 30th in EPA, opponent EPA per rush, 26th in opponent yards per carry. And the Broncos already ran the ball successfully against the Chiefs, getting 5 yards per carry just a couple weeks ago when these two teams played. I think if the Broncos lean on that a little bit more and run the ball and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, they are at home in this game as well. I think they can keep it within 8 points. It's an ugly bet, I know, but I'll take Broncos +8, -110 against the Chiefs. Sunday night football, it is the Chargers, it is the Bears. I'll take the Chargers -8.5, -110 against the Chicago Bears. Now, everything in me wants to bet on the Chargers, wants me to bet against the Chargers. So there's the gut feeling I'm once again not listening to. Because the Chargers have statistically been one of the worst teams in the NFL. Everything you want to look at, especially they might be the worst defense of all time. They can't stop anyone. But they might be able to stop a Division II quarterback. Tyler Bagent. He will once again be starting for the Bears after the solid performance last week against the Raiders. People are now going to bet on the Bears. They like a good story, but this is not the Bears, or this is not the Raiders he's playing against on a Sunday afternoon game. This is Sunday night football in Los Angeles. These are bright lights for the young kid from Shepherd University. It is very possible that you'll be halfway through the game on Sunday night football saying, why did I bet on Tyson Bagent on Sunday night football, hailing from Shepherd University? I'm not going to fall for that trap. If I'm right, it's going to seem so obvious in hindsight. Yeah, the Chargers defense stinks, but they're going up against an undrafted rookie from Shepherd University. Also, the Bears defense stinks. They can't stop anyone. They can't defend the pass. Justin Herbert, at the very least, should have a very big game through the air against the Bears. I don't think Tyson Bagent can keep up with them. I think this is a game people are going to overthink. They're going to bet on the Bears because they like this young buck. They like a good story, and I think it's going to blow up in their face. I'll take the Chargers -8.5, -110 on Sunday Night Football. Final one, Monday Night Football, Raiders Lions. Now, this one is a little bit of a tricky one. Because in terms of my argument for why I'm betting on the Raiders, stylistically, I actually don't really have a lot of backing for this. Unfortunately, I just kind of had to be a sports bettor in this spot, and I'll explain why. Now, I don't place my bets until Monday night before I start recording. Not everybody knows that. You should know that if you listen to this podcast. By the time I place my bet on Monday night, most sports books have the lines for the game set at relatively the same number, give or take half a point. It might be, and like I said, for Road to 272 bets, I can only use regulated New York books. That includes PointsBet, Caesars, BetMGM, BetRivers, DraftKings, FanDuel. I think that's it. Seven. So I'm limited to those seven. So looking at those seven, you might get half a point difference here or there. You might get a -105 against a -110. For some reason, for this Raiders Lions game, and I'm gonna bring up my BetStamp account here, my page. I just want to make sure there's nothing here that I shouldn't be showing. No, I don't think so. This is a big video episode, people. Here's the BetStamp odds available. Now I have it set so you can see all sports books. Most of these aren't relevant for the Road to 272 rules. But let's look at the New York regulated ones. FanDuel, 8.5. 8.5 for the Raiders juice to -115. DraftKings, 8. BetRivers, 8. BetMGM all the way down to 7.5. Caesars, 8. So all of these books all either somewhere right between 7.5 and 8.5. PointsBet for some reason, and I've never seen this, but placing bets on Monday night for next week's football games, I've never seen this big of a discrepancy. PointsBet for some reason has the Raiders at +9.5. That is as big of a gap as who was the BetMGM. That's 2 full points different from BetMGM. I don't think I've ever seen that betting on the NFL by much. Now, maybe opening lines, you might see that, but even these sports books don't set the opening lines. They steal lines from market setting sports books like Pinnacle. But Monday night placing the bet, I've never seen a full 2-point swing. Now, that is still the current line. I bet that line tonight, right before I started recording, at +9.5 of points bet. The large majority of the time I break down bets on this show, friends, I like to give reasons. But at the end of the day, I'm a sports bettor. And if you find an outlier line somewhere, you kind of have to just bet it. Now, I'll say on the flip side, if you want to bet on the Lions, go to BetMGM. Get them at 7.5. Certainly do not bet them at points bet at 9.5. Bet them at DraftKings, -8. Bet365, -8. Not available in New York, unfortunately. My point is, I know that I'm supposed to evaluate these teams, and I do 99.99% of the time. Let me bring myself back up to full screen. But if I see an outlier line on one of the 7 sports books I can bet on, I have to take the outlier line. I'll take the +9.5 on the Raiders. That's a crazy line. I thought the spread was set at about right at the other numbers. 8.5 seems about right. I was probably going to bet the total. I was probably going to bet the under. I don't love that the Raiders look like they're starting Brian Hoyer again. Certainly don't like that. Like Aiden O'Connell, much better. But this is an outlier line. I don't know why PointsBet has them at +9.5. If you're listening to this on Tuesday morning, you might still get it as well. Maybe by the end of the week, maybe every book's going to be at 9.5. Maybe PointsBet was just ahead of the curve. So I don't really have a huge analytical breakdown for this. I think the Raiders might be able to throw the ball against the Lions secondary. They look kind of vulnerable against the Ravens. Sorry. I wish I had a better explanation, but maybe this is a good lesson, a sports betting lesson. Sign up for as many sports books as you can, and sometimes you can find outlier lines. And if the market, if you know 90% of the market, 95% of the market says the line should be a 7.5 to 8.5 point favorite, and you have a 9.5 line out there, you got to take the 9.5 on the underdog. Am I making sense? Am I rambling? Did you understand what I was saying 5 minutes ago, but I just keep repeating myself? I like the Raiders at 9.5. Sorry. I think the line's set right at 8.5. If you give me 9.5, I'm going to take the Raiders. On the flip side of that, if you gave me like a Lions, if there's like a Lions minus 6.5 out there, I'd take that. I'm not picky. Wherever I think the value is on the outlier line, I'll take it. In this case, it's the Raiders. To the Lions fan who emailed me this past week, getting mad at me because I bet on the Ravens. Sorry. Send me another email. Love to hear from you. Also, complete side note, I think one of you guys said hi to me on the street in New York a couple weeks ago. It was early in the morning. I was walking home with my sister just from the bagel spot. And a guy said, hi, Ian, as I crossed the street in Hell's Kitchen. But he didn't say it very confidently, and it took me like 15 seconds to realize what he said. And then I turned around, and then he was too far away, and then it was just too late. So if you said hi to me in Hell's Kitchen at like 8 in the morning 2 weeks ago, hello. I'm sorry I didn't say hi back. I didn't mean to. I'm not a dick, I promise. We got to wrap the show. It's gone off the rails. That is my best bet for every game this week. Let me go ahead and recap all of them. I'll then give you my best bets and my teaser and Survivor. So Bills, -8.5, -110 against the Buccaneers. Rams, +230 against the Cowboys. Falcons, -2, -110 against the Titans. Dolphins, -9, -110 against the Patriots. Vikings, +100 against the Packers. Panthers, +130 against the Texans. Jets versus Giants over 36.5, -110. Jaguars, -2.5, -112 against the Steelers. Colts, -1, -110 against the Saints. Eagles, -6.5, -110 at the Commanders. Seahawks, -3, -102 against the Browns. 49ers, -5.5, -105 against the Bengals. Ravens, -8.5, -108 against the Cardinals. Broncos, +8, -110 against the Chiefs. Chargers, -8.5, -110 against the Bears, and Raiders, +9.5, -110 against the Lions. My best bets this week, my five best bets, and I should do up my record for what my best bets record is for the season. I should have done that. I didn't. My best bets this week are Bills, -8.5 against the Bucks, Rams, +6.5 against the Cowboys, Vikings +1 against the Packers, Seahawks -3 against the Browns, and 49ers -5.5 against the Bengals. So Bills, Rams, Vikings, Seahawks, 49ers. Bills, Rams, Vikings, Seahawks, 49ers are my best bets this week. My teaser. My teasers have been hot. Let's go. Let's tease the Ravens down from -8.5 to -2.5. Very obvious teaser leg. We're crossing the key numbers of both 7 and 3. And we are going to do Dolphins from -9 down to -3. So crossing the key number of 7 and taking it to the key number of 3. So for my teaser of the week, I got Ravens -2.5 against Cardinals. Dolphins -3 against the Patriots. Survivor, if you are still alive in your Survivor pool, congratulations. You are a better man than me. My Survivor picks this week is, if you want an obvious one, it is the Chargers against the Bears. I'd be shocked if this D2 guy from Shepherd University shows up in the bright lights and outduels Justin Herbert on Sunday Night Football. And I do not trust the Chargers against any other team in the NFL, so I'll take the Chargers against the Bears. If we want a sneaky pick, I think the Colts against the Saints. You're not going to use the Colts in very many spots this season, and the Saints offense makes me feel physically ill. There you have it. This has been the NFL Week 8 episode of the Bacon Bets Podcast. The road to 272 bets continues. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, like the video, rate and review the podcast, all that good stuff. Gambler, bless. Good luck with all your bets this week. Let's get back on the winning side of things. Good luck. I love you all. And I'll talk to you all next week when the road to 272 bets marches on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.